Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. My name is TJ Jackson. With me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's up, T?
What is going on, Taj?
Braids are a little long. That's what's going on. I can't
barely... Still looks good. It still looks good.
Wear a hat for this.
Today's date is December 14th, 2022, and we are live, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. And you may also be listening to us via the podcast. Yes. All of our episodes are now officially uploaded onto our podcast, The Power of Love Show. You can find that podcast on iTunes Podcast, Google Podcast. What other podcast platforms are there? There's Spotify, pretty much every major podcast platform there is. You can now find The Power of Love Show. So we encourage you, if you like podcasts or if you're busy or you're doing a lot of driving, to take a listen to us on the road. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a wonderful show lined up. We have a wonderful guest that is going to be joining us. But first, we have a disclaimer to talk about. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here on the Power of Love Show is we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us.
Yeah.
Now, Taj, before we get into the meat and bones of our show, I do want to know, how has your week been and what you've been up to?
Just running around like crazy in that way. The holidays are an incredible time because, you know, you feel the holiday spirit and stuff, but there's a lot of hectic aspect to it. Just running around, driving. Yeah, it's been tiring in that way, but I love the holidays. You know, I love the whole Christmassy kind of happy holidays thing.
Yeah. It's a wonderful time of year. It's a wonderful time of the year. It's you know, a festive time of the year. It's a time of giving. But like you said, it can also be crazy, hectic, and a time of year where it's not a lot of sleep. So please get your rest, everyone. Not much is going on in my world. I'm in Nashville. But I come back home in a couple of days, which I'm looking forward to.
Nashville?
I always love Nashville.
I know you do. Yeah.
I always love Nashville. It's the perfect weather for me, which is a little gloomy, some rain, not hot. I know. I like to be cozy and be kind of inside. So that's my thing. But Taj, the one thing I do want to mention and talk about is the passing of Stephen Twitch Boss, who was the former Ellen DeGeneres Show DJ. Yep. And you know,
also, So You Think You Can Dance. Yeah.
Also from So You Think You Could Dance. Unfortunately, it is confirmed that he is no longer with us. It is possibly and probably looks like suicide. That unfortunately what I want to say, and this is going to be straight from the heart, is please, please, anyone who is going through something, anyone who is feeling inadequate or feeling lost or struggling in life, please reach out. Please reach out. Know that you are loved. Obviously, a lot could be going on, and I don't like speculating. I don't like even diving into this time when it's still fresh and new for his family. But it's important to say, and if we can help save one life, multiple lives, that is, it's worth mentioning. And one thing I do also want to bring up, Taj, is this suicide hotline. Remember, you could dial or text 988 if you are here in the States. If you need someone to talk to, or if you know someone who needs support, please call or text 988. And you can also chat. For anyone who's international, feel free to chat at 988lifeline.org. But please, 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 we don't know what everyone is going through. We don't know what people are dealing with. So please be mindful. Please be supportive, and please be there for one another.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to all of that, Mr. Taj?
No, I mean, the holidays can be really rough anyway. Just to check up on everyone, you know, just give that random call to someone in general. He was heavily in the dance community, so I know of a few people that knew him really well and are mourning right now. And so, yeah, it's just a sad time because you hear great stories and how amazing and how nice he was and stuff like that. And really with suicide, you can't tell from the outside if someone's suicidal in that way. You know, someone can appear to be extremely happy, extremely friendly, happy-go-lucky, and inside they could be in so much pain. That's when I'm just assuming it in that way. Obviously, yeah. And suicide, but just check up on people, please, in that way. And this is a good time of the year to do that anyway.
Absolutely. I think I like how you say that, Taj, because obviously it can happen at any time of the year, but I think we have this assumption or this idea that this is what I like to call the best time of the year, you know, this is something that we don't need to worry about, but that is not the case. And again, as Astier says, you can call or text 988 if you are here in the States. And again, this is something we're going to keep mentioning for anyone. You can also go and chat 988lifeline.org. Okay, Taj, I think that was for the most part what I felt like we should be discussing. Is there anything you could think of or anything that I may have missed?
No, there's a lot. I mean, most of the comments say the exact same thing. You don't know what someone's going through, you know, in that way. And I've seen like 6 comments saying the same thing. It's very true.
All right, Taj. So we're going to transition into our show. And on today's episode of the Power of Love show, we welcome a special, special guest. Her name is Nicole Kamak. I should have asked how to pronounce it. I always
usually do. Yeah,
I know. I don't know what happened, but she'll correct me if I'm wrong. But Nicole is an end-of-life guide and grief companion. She assists people in planning their final days and advocates for people's end-of-life wishes and preferences. As a death educator and empath, she guides others in finding a sense of ease and comfort in times of immense sorrow and fear. Her intuitive spirit and compassion for the human condition has always allowed her to speak openly about the feelings and emotions that transpire from death. Giving to her community is one of her biggest passions and parallels her natural response to hold space for people experiencing death, loss, and grief. Her interest in death work formed organically and began just after the death of her grandfather in 2001. In 2002, she began working as a funeral attendant and mortuary assistant in a family-owned mortuary in Northern California. The handful of years she spent assisting families who had lost a loved one was life-changing. Death is raw, heavy, and often feared. Her experience in the setting paved a path of wonder, fully allowing her to ponder 2 big questions. How do you want to live? And how do you want to die? The years following her work in the funeral industry, she found herself giving her time and heart to the field of education. Upon moving to Oregon in 2004, she worked as an early childhood education teacher for almost 10 years. Children are magic, and they have always sparked so much joy and wonder in her life. Nicole transitioned into the world of social work in 2013, working with houseless families in Portland and advocating for children in the foster care system. While in this position, it became clear that her flair for helping others comes straight from her heart source, and loss and grief support has always, always been her calling. In April of 2020, she completed her first death doula training. Since then, she has acquired dozens of hours of training and mentorship on topics such as advanced death care planning, holistic funerals and ceremonies, grief burials, and ambiguous loss in speaking with children about grief. Her education does not stop here, and she's committed to furthering her knowledge through real-life experience and speaking with other death workers in her community. Her network of supporters and mentors continues to grow every day, and she's grateful for all of the guidance she has received from some of the biggest pioneers in death work. Nicole believes that becoming a death worker and educator is a gift and a calling in this lifetime. With compassion and grace, her hope is to help others remove the taboos surrounding death and close the gaps of isolation and extreme discomfort. Her experience is forever evolving, and she trusts that the process will shine its light. Without much further ado, everyone, please welcome to the Power of Love Show, Nicole Kamak. And I hope, Nicole, I am not butchering your name.
I forgive you.
Oh, no, that's not a good start. That tells me a lot. What is it?
You didn't do too bad. It's Kamak.
Okay.
Not too bad.
No, Taj, that's not that bad. I said Kamak and it's Kamak.
No, you try to give it a little spin to it. Like
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Well, I put a little flair to it. Yeah. For you. Well, Nicole, it's wonderful to have you on our show, and I thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
I have a quick question for you. I have many questions, but I want to start right off the top of the bat with that the fact that your bio mentions how the passing of your beloved grandfather initially sparked your interest in death work. First, of course, we are sorry for the loss of your grandfather. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit more how that initial curiosity revealed itself and how you came to the realization that death work was your calling?
Sure. Yes. It's there's a lot to that story, and we don't have that much time, so I'll sum it up.
Okay.
So my grandparents raised me from the age of three. So when my grandfather died, it was in my home where I was raised. And sadly, he was an alcoholic. And so I watched his body die over time, so to speak, up until the point of the day that he died, which was it was a pretty quick experience once his body was breaking down. So at the time I was 15 years old, and it was my first major big death experience. And I don't think I actually realized what it all meant and what it all looked like until years later, when I became a death doula and actually studied, you know, what it looks like when someone's dying, what are the body's reactions. And then I thought back to that experience and was like, wow, I remember seeing those things. I remember the death rattle and him sort of not speaking to us, but speaking to others out there that he was seeing. So that's kind of the short story of when he died. But however, my grandmother actually worked in a cemetery prior to his death. So I had been sort of submerged into death prior to him passing as well. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time at the cemetery. I learned how to drive in the cemetery. And it just was quite interesting. And, you know, being a 16-year-old and you go to school and you're like, my mom works at a cemetery. And they're like, whoa, that's weird. I kind of liked that. No. I liked being the weird one because there were so many questions, and death's not something that is readily talked about. And I was the person that was talking about it all the time. So that's sort of my initial introduction into the work. And then it kind of went from there.
Nicole, would you say you ever had a fear? You know, I got to be careful how I say it, but I would guess most people at some point in their life have this strong fear of dying and a fear of what dying means. Did you ever, even as a child, have that fear?
I have to be honest with you. I didn't develop death fears until I was an adult. And I think it's because I was around death all the time. And so there was no fear because I was watching it happen. And I think fear comes from the lack of families talking about it. The lack of, you know, a lot of families won't even say the word death or dying in front of their children out of fear for them feeling, right? Mm. And that wasn't how I was raised. I was raised in a home where we did talk about it. And so I really didn't fear death. I feared emotion. I feared feeling things. I feared grief, but I've never really feared like me dying. It's more of other people dying and how that's going to make me feel when it happens.
Mm. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Everybody's story is different.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, your work, which includes roles such as End of Life Guide, Grief Companion, and a Death Doula, which I'm going to ask you, I mean, we've asked already on the show what a death doula is, so maybe if you could just refresh us a bit. But you've done all of that, and you do all that, and all falls under the umbrella of the brand you have cultivated called Emerald Awakenings. Can you tell us the significance of this name and talk us through some of the services you offer? No. So I want to know about Emerald Awakenings, but first, if you could just clarify what a death doula is one more time.
Sure. So if you were to go on Google and type in death doula, you'd probably hear something like a non-religious, non-medical assistant to the dying and their family. And that can often get misconstrued with what hospice does. We are not hospice. It's important to note that we are non-medical, and we fill in the gaps of what hospice just doesn't have the time to do when someone is dying.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. That helps. Mm-hmm. That helps. Now let's talk about your brand, Emerald Awakening.
So when I saw that question, when you sent it to me ahead of time, this question comes up all the time, and I sadly don't have some big, beautiful answer. here's the answer. So when I love to go into the forest, I live in the Pacific Northwest, so it is a very green place. And it is a place that brings me a lot of a sense of feeling grounded when I'm out in the trees, when I'm out in nature. And Emerald Awakening to me is me going on a walk by myself in the forest, and the sun rays are coming through big, huge evergreen trees, and feeling just a complete sense, just a complete bliss and joy for my life. And I think that's really important, because we don't have death without life. And so that's really where it all starts, is that feeling that I get being alive. And I love the color green.
What I was going to ask is the name, I mean, you mentioned nature, and I'm a big fan of nature and its role when we're grieving or going through things. And you just said that you're a big fan of green. I think it's no coincidence that maybe that goes with your personality, and there's a grounding in you about life and the process of life that I think a lot of us who aren't in the experience aren't at your pace. We don't feel that. And I commend you for that. And I think there's a lot of greatness that can be had for all of us, and security if we can lean your way and be more grounded with life and nature. So,
yeah. Well, thank you. Yes. Sometimes I have to remind myself that not everybody is there in their mind when it comes to the death conversation, because it comes so easy for me. But I think that's what I love about what I do, is just creating a bit of ease for people, shining some light on something that's terribly difficult when it happens. And so, yes, thank you.
Now, can you tell? Go ahead, Tosh.
Yeah, I know you said it was your grandfather that kind of sparked all this in that way. Was it more of a calling, or was it more of curiosity that got you into pursuing and then getting your death doula certification or whatever? And that what led you down that path?
I would say more of curiosity. So sort of a follow-up to my story as to, you know, my grandfather died. My grandmother had already worked in a cemetery. And at the time, I was actually looking for work for my first job. I was a teenager. And my grandmother's boss owned a cemetery, or was a funeral director at a cemetery. And he offered to give me a part-time job at the mortuary. That to me didn't mean anything besides I was going to get a paycheck at the time. And then 6 years later, I stayed there, became full-time. And my roles in the mortuary shifted from simply cleaning up after, you know, vacuuming after a funeral, to a whole load of things that happen to put on a funeral, there's a lot of different ends, right? And so I became a part of that And it was not expected when I first took the job. So I think curiosity is what sort of led me into that path.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm always curious to see what shapes people there.
Right.
Tori has a question.
Oh, sure.
She wants to know, do you like going to cemeteries? And I'm going to add to that. Did you always like going to cemeteries?
Well, always. I mean, not as like a little child. Well, you know, it's funny. So I grew up really close to a town called Colma, California, which is just a small suburb outside of San Francisco. And if you look up Colma, California, you will see that it is like the biggest death town in at least our country. There are maybe 22 dozen cemeteries in this small town. And the number of living people in the town is really small. But the population of dead people is probably over a million. Wow. So I was in that town all the time. I used to go feed the ducks at a cemetery as a kid. And then I learned how to drive in the cemetery. So I guess I did enjoy going to cemeteries, but I didn't think of it as I'm going to the cemetery to go, you know, look at headstones or something. It was just a different mindset. Now, as an adult, I do enjoy going to cemeteries because I go to them with a different intention. I look at dates. I think about the history. I think about the land that we're on and the people that are buried in these cemeteries, and maybe that wasn't their land to begin with. So that's a whole other conversation as well.
So you also, Nicole, you have two helpful publications for sale on your website that serve as powerful resources. Number one, it's called the first one I want to talk about is called Death Care Planning Workbook. And then the other one is called Holding Space for Grieving Hearts, a Toolkit. Can you tell us about each of these resources? What does each offer, and who you think could benefit from having these resources?
Sure. Yeah, they're both very different. Let's talk about the first one I created was the Grief Toolkit. It's kind of like maybe like a Grief 101 sort of PDF file that if you were to purchase it, you would just download it on your computer and it could be printed. And it comes from my perspective and my opinion on what grief looks like for people. So some people might not agree with it per se, but I try to create it with the intention of it being for everybody. And so in there are just different tools that you can actually utilize to get through times that are really tough when you're deep in your grief, different meditations. And it's also compiled in a way where it's you can use it for yourself, but you can also use it to support other people. So if you have a good friend that's going through a heavy loss. And I also think that it's important to note that it's created for grief. And grief comes from all sorts of different major losses, not just the death of a human. Any sort of big loss in life will create grief for us. So, you know, a divorce, and, you know, having an estranged parent, like I said, I didn't know my parents very well growing up, things like that. We experience grief in all different capacities. So it's created for kind of the whole grief spectrum.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the other one is an actual workbook, and, it's completely different than the grief side of things. It is more for actually planning what you would like your end of life to look like if you're given the opportunity to have your final wishes granted. So more for the slow death, you know, you've lived a longer life and you're thinking about, you know, how do you want it to look? Who do you want to be around? What do you want to happen to your belongings? There's a page about how to have the conversation with loved ones who might feel uncomfortable about talking about your death or their own death. A list of documents that are going to be really important for your loved ones to have in advance prior to your death, sort of in preparation for you dying. And it talks a little bit about the importance of kind of your digital planning, because everything is online now. And really, if you don't write down your passwords and nobody knows what they are and you die, it makes it a lot harder for your loved ones to take care of the paperwork side of death. So it's more of a, what would you prefer to happen? And then some of the like paperwork logistical things that you don't want to have to think about, but in reality, we have to think about. And if you're trying to help your loved ones after you die, this would be a good start.
Is it one of those things where you think it's something that we should be looking into when we're sick? Or is it one of those things where even at a tender age of 40, we should even have one and we can hold on to it? I'm curious to know that answer.
I'm really glad you asked, because I think it's really important in how I promote my work. That workbook is for everyone of all ages. I have filled it out myself. I'm 36. I have had my friends fill theirs out. And mainly because we don't know when we're going to die. We just know that we are going to die. And life can be messy. And so, you know, this isn't a legal will. You know, you don't have to get it notarized or anything. It's something that, I mean, I think it's kind of fun to fill out and to actually like think about. You kind of get a life review out of it. Like, wow, look at all these things that I can consider and could possibly put into place for when the time comes and I'm dying. Or if I do have a sudden death, then here it is. For my loved ones, it's right here for you in preparation for really anything to happen in our life.
That's great. And is emeraldawakenings.com the only place you can get it? It's going to be a question I know people are going to ask.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Yes. Emeraldawakenings.com. Okay. And you can just go to my services little tab and you can purchase it there. If you want to just email me, and we can set it up through, you know, a Venmo payment and I can email it to you. I'm pretty informal when it comes to that.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Another question I have is you host a virtual monthly peer supported grief gathering through the Portland Grief House called What's Grief Got to Do with It? Please tell us a little bit about these gatherings and how listeners can sign up and participate.
Sure. Yeah. So just to kind of give a background about the Portland Grief House, they are a nonprofit here in Portland that was pretty much built during just right before the pandemic. And they offer in-person and virtual gatherings. So it's not just mine. You can check out their website. I think it's portlandgriefhouse.org, I think, because they have quite an array of different types of grief support, you know, music related, art therapy, in-person meals, all sorts of things. Mine is virtual, and it is again set up for all grief. So if you're coming because you're grieving the death of a pet or the death of a human or a breakup, or you're shedding a layer of your own identity, you know, whatever sort of grief you're going through, no matter how old the grief is, everyone is welcome. And it's the second Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. And it's a donation-based offering. So you don't need to pay any money to attend. And any donations do go to the Grief House to keep them up and running as a nonprofit. And it's usually about an hour to an hour and a half. And I call it sort of the popcorn style, where I'm the person that put it together, but it's peer supported. So it's the people that are attending that are kind of running the show. That's great. You know, everybody, you know, if you want to talk, nobody is obligated to talk.
Now, again, this is 6 p.m. Pacific time, correct?
Oh, yes, that's right. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how we mentioned, is there a link on emeraldawakenings.com to this peer group?
You know what? I have to be, I think there actually is in my services, but if you are on social media in my link tree, I have a link there for, it'll go straight to that page for you to sign up.
Okay, so if we go on, if we go on Instagram and go to your handle at emerald.awakenings, on the bio section goes a link tree, I assume, where you can click and join. And
if that's right. Perfect. Yep. And it's always up to date with the next session.
Yeah. There's a question. I was a little premature in going on to the next topic, but Kathy had a question regarding your book. She wanted to know, does the book have a section dedicated to child or grandchild death? I had death of child and death of grandchild.
Kathy, I'm assuming the, are you asking about the grief book? Like support around the death of a child and that sort of grief?
I'm going to assume so.
I don't have anything that specific in that book. I would say if you're needing support for yourself for that death, you would be able to find, you know, something in there that might be helpful. Usually if it's the death of a child, I refer out to other people or organizations that might be able to help specifically with that, because I do think it's a very specific kind of grief. And so if you don't mind, I'd love to promote the Dougy Center. It's D-O-U-G-Y. If you're familiar with them, great. Yeah, and if not, please get familiar. They're actually based in Portland, but they are internationally known, and they are specific support for children. And I say children, but I think they support people in their early 20s too. And parents as well. And they have a whole lot of resources on their website. They have books, and they're just amazing.
Georgina is asking if you could explain your drawing on your book, any deep meaning behind it.
Oh, yeah. So that's that was drawn for me when I first created Emerald Awakenings back in 2020. It was an artist that I was following on Instagram. Seeds of Spells is their handle. They knew that the name of my business was Emerald Awakenings and that I was a death doula, and that's what they created for me. So, I love it. It kind of reminds me of the transition, the threshold between living and moving on. But it's like me in a little boat on my way to the next spot.
Okay, so Nicole, you offer a number of services, including end of life guide, death education, advanced death care planning, funeral celebrant, and grief companion. And you offer a free 20-minute consultations to discuss how you may best hold space for your clients. It's very cool. I'm asking on behalf of everyone who's listening or watching, how can we schedule a consultation with you, and what can we expect from this consultation?
Sure, yes. So the easiest way to do so would be to go to my website and go under services. And the first thing you're going to see is a hand holding a beautiful crystal. That's my hand and my crystal. And you can click on it. It'll just take you straight to an email. It'll take you to your email with my email in there. And you can just say, "Hi, Nicole, I'm interested in learning about ways that you can support me. I'd like to do a consultation." And then I'll just reach back out and schedule a time that works best for you. I have a whole other day job outside of my death work. So I don't have a calendar on my website. So I just take it person by person as I'm contacted. And then right under that, the consultation link is a pretty in-depth list of all of my different services. Not pricing. We would talk about that over consultation. But sort of the different things that I offer. So the funeral celebrant, I do death anxiety, guidance calls, one-on-one grief support. I'm not a therapist. I have to throw that out there too. And then the death doula work, which is pretty much sitting bedside with the dying, is an option as well. What else is there on there? The advanced planning, which would come with the workbook as well and would be in different sessions. So that's all discussed in the consultation.
I think it's great. I commend you. I've always had, I'm gotten better, but there's always, you know, when a friend or someone I know or a loved one loses someone of significance, I've always been lost for what to say or how to support or what to do. And people like you who do this and do it with such confidence and strength and stability, it's a blessing for so many. So I really commend you for doing what you do. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Taj.
Quick question. In terms of your services, what do most people call you for in general? What's your, I want to say most popular because that sounds weird, but just in terms of what do you feel like most people are looking for in that way?
You know, I tend to promote myself in some areas over others. The actual death doula role, sitting bedside with people, it's not really something that I do regularly because I prefer to support people in other capacities.
Yeah.
If I was asked to do that work, I would never turn someone away. Mm-hmm. I think advanced planning, because I call myself the paperwork girl because I actually enjoy paperwork and a lot of people don't. And so that's something I can help people get organized with because it's quite confusing and every state has different documents and laws. And so I could do that research for you and help you get organized in that sense. Wonderful. And then sort of the post-death support and educating people on final disposition options. You know, you have burial and you have cremation, but there's all sorts of different directions you can go with each of those. Death anxiety is really big, especially with, you know, we witness pretty messy deaths in our world and it creates a lot of fear for people. So, that's a big one. And then probably my favorite is the funeral celebrant, which is pretty much facilitating the actual service, kind of like a wedding celebrant, but on the other side.
What would you want to, if you could tell or instruct or just give us, I'm gonna say common ears, those who aren't around death so much or don't know much about death and until it happens to one of us or a family member, what would you want to tell us to make the process so much easier? I assume planning is one, but is there anything that you would just want to share with it? It could be about making the process easier, about alleviating fears. Is there something off that you would just want to tell the commoner who isn't around death so much regarding death?
Sure, yeah. And I think it's a big question for sure. And I think my response really goes towards like how we handle death and also how we handle grief. It's that we don't handle it. Those are both not things that we are going to be fixing or preventing from happening in our life. And so my biggest suggestion for anybody is to just be present. Don't try too hard to find the words because that's a lot. That takes a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Being present with death and being present with grief is really the best gift that we can give someone else and to ourselves and our fears. And you're going to feel. There's nothing we can do to take away feeling what either of those things bring up in our bodies. So that's probably my best advice. Being present with it and talking about it, being present with the uncomfortable conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Nicole, your bio states that death is raw, heavy, and often feared, and your experience in this setting paved a path of wonder, fully allowing you to ponder two big questions. How do you want to live and how do you want to die? So our question to you is, I'll say it this way. How has doing this work helped you to answer these two big questions?
I think I still ask myself that all the time and it is forever changing based on where I'm at in my own life and what things are headed my way. I want to live remembering that I'm going to die, which kind of helps me to just go out there and do the things I want to do and say the things I want to say and not hold back, and do my best to avoid, I call it like deathbed regret. You know, there's books out there where people that are dying will tell you their biggest regrets. And one of them's, you know, I work too hard is probably one of the biggest regrets, like living your life, doing the things that bring you joy. How do I want to die? We all know I don't get to choose that pretty much. I hope that I die. Oh, my dog just walked in.
Hey.
I hope I die around my dog. I hope my dog's there. I hope I die slow. I hope I am not in too much pain. And I hope that I have all my people around me.
Can I ask you a question? You said you hope you die slow. What does that mean and why?
Well, not tragically or suddenly, I guess. Okay. That would be preferable.
Okay.
That's not how it happens for everybody. Yeah. And so slow meaning, you know,
not a sudden.
a little bit older.
Okay.
Not at 36.
Okay. And another question for you. You've been around death a lot more than my brother and I have combined. You deal with this on a daily basis. What is something that you would And you may have already answered this, and if it's okay, if you want to re-answer it with the same thing, but what is something you would share to us about how we're living or the approach we're taking in life from someone who is so much around death?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to the conversation of illuminating the role of death in our lives, because we talk about everything else. We talk about birth, we talk about the in-between, but we don't really talk about the end. And I do think that incorporating what happens to us and maybe what happens beyond that as well. Mm. Maybe you don't, you know, maybe you believe that death isn't the end. Mm. Let's talk about that. What do you believe? I love to hear people's stories and thoughts and beliefs in that. And bringing that conversation to the Christmas table. Let's see what, you know, Uncle Jimmy wants when he dies, you know. It might make you laugh, it might make you cry, but it will bring a sense of wonder for sure.
Mm. Go ahead, Taj. Is that you, Taj? You gonna say something?
No,
you're muted.
No.
Okay. Taj, did you have anything else? Otherwise, we're gonna wrap up.
I just is fascinated with like this topic in general, because death is something that is people try and avoid the conversation of in that way. Mm-hmm. Me, I catch myself doing that. If I say die, or I'm like, oh, and all that stuff. So it's very refreshing to hear your viewpoint and also your expertise in it, and you growing up around it in that way, it's demystified for you. Mm-hmm. And so
yeah,
I've had a fun time listening in that way.
And to piggyback on what Taj said, I feel like that demystifying that you got to experience or that you've had in life has given you strength and in your feelings toward death. And I think that's a beautiful thing that we all can definitely learn from.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're using it to help others. So that's always the bonus in it.
And also I feel too, and I grieve. And I'm just like everybody else, even if you don't talk about death, right? I do all those things too, and I have fears. So I'm also a human.
Yeah. This is what a lot of people would say. So Georgina, I'm putting this out there. And Georgina says, I can't talk about death. It makes me cry every time. Just think of it brings tears to my eyes. What would you say to someone like Georgina? What would your response be? Because I'm sure, Pete, you get this a lot. So what would you say?
I do.
What do you say?
I mean, my honest response is that almost every time I talk about it, I cry too. And that's coming from someone who's fully submerged in death talks. I'm an extremely emotional person. I cry often. And I think being comfortable in your feelings, no matter if they're hard or not, is a beautiful thing. And crying is extremely scientifically very helpful and healthy for your body.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Nicole Comack with the answer. I love that answer. Okay. Yeah, so wasn't expecting that, but I liked it. So again, everyone, you can email Nicole at nicole@emeraldawakenings.com. You can go to the website, emeraldawakenings.com. Also on Instagram is @emerald.awakenings. So you can look her up there. But we are at the closure of our show. And I don't think I mentioned this to you, so I apologize. Yeah. I dropped the ball before the show. I'm sorry, Nicole. But we like to close our show. I don't know if you've seen one of our shows, but we like to close our show giving our guests the final word. You could talk about anything you want. You could talk about your favorite Netflix show, your favorite cooking recipe, your favorite dance, your favorite vacation spot, your favorite poem, your favorite book, your favorite hobby. You could talk about something you've learned in life that you want to pass on to our community. Anything you want to talk about, nothing is off limits. So again, I apologize on behalf of Taj for not bringing this up to you, Nicole.
Yeah. Or anything you want to leave our audience with.
Anything you want to leave our audience. So however much time you want to take, Nicole, the floor is abruptly yours.
Oh my goodness, that's such a big question.
And I dropped the ball, everyone. Yeah, I always give everyone an idea I'm doing this, and I've completely forgot, Nicole, so I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was pets. Hmm. I am a big animals fan, and I'm a big advocate for taking care of the animals in our community and adopting and fostering cats and dogs and gerbils and all the things, because pets really do make the world go round. My dog brings me, she doesn't have the title of, you know, emotional support, but that's my therapist right there. Yeah. And I think that we need to take care of our pets. And we also need to remove the taboo of pet deaths not being important. Because there's a lot of taboo around when a pet dies that, oh, you're sad, get over it. Mm. I don't like that.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't like that at all. So go get a pet.
Nicole, that's great. That is wonderful. I mean, Taj and I are both dog lovers. We both had dogs. We both went through the process of having dogs as puppies and losing dogs. Taj twice. I mean, we were raised around dogs, but Taj twice as an adult. Myself once, and just last week I got my second dog. And I've always said, and it's no secret to our community, that for me, my dog played such an important role in grieving when my mother was murdered at 16. And I am such an advocate for pets as well. It took me a while to get my second one, everyone, but now that I have them, it's a beautiful thing. And like you said, they're beautiful souls, and they could be such important things for your life. So go get a pet. I love that. Taj, anything else? There's a couple comments I want to highlight, and then I'm going to ask Taj if there's anything else. But Christy says, so very true. There is such a lack of communication and conversation surrounding death. It is very true. That is why we do these shows every Wednesday at 1 p.m. to try to keep the conversation going, to keep the understanding going. You have people like Nicole, who again can be found at emeraldawakenings.com, who does a 20-minute free consultation for you going on for whatever it is you need to talk about surrounding death and grief. So it is out there. And I bet Nicole would agree with me. We wish it was more prominent out there, but it is out there. And with the advancement of technology and the internet, it is able to be found. So I appreciate that comment, Christy. And then we also have a super chat from Bami, who says, there was so much about that that I didn't know about until this live. Thank you so much, Kathy. I think she means Nicole. But thank you so much. And maybe Kathy's one of our viewers who helped her out. Could it be an audiobook form, please? You definitely have the magical voice for it. So this is a question that Taj usually asks for for one of your books. Could it be in audiobook form?
Sure.
That's something you thought about, but you should. You should, though. You do have a great.
It very well should be, yes. And I don't know of any out there, so it's not a bad idea.
You have a great voice for it as well. So that's the in terms of people like me that love audiobooks in general, it could be very soothing in a way.
Now you've got my wheels turning.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Bobby, for that super chat. Yeah. Okay, I think we are good. Anything either one of you want to mention or we need to leave with? We're good?
You know, I have one last little thing. I know a few hundred death workers throughout the world. And so if you're in need of someone in person in your area, you can email me or reach out somehow on my social media. And I might know somebody in your area that might be a good fit for you. I'm not going to be the best fit for everyone. And so I'm happy to refer out to other people.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Love it. Yeah. Nicole, you're a special person. I really love what you are and what you stand for and your honesty, and it's a beautiful thing. So keep doing your thing. We need you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So that is it. We will be back next Wednesday on behalf of my big brother, Taj, and the whole entire Dede Jackson Foundation. We want to thank you guys for watching or listening to the show. And we will see you guys next Wednesday. Adios, everyone.